your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18 in your Bibles, and that's where we will be tonight. Mary, Mindy, you've got the special, so come on up. Chapter 18, 1 Kings 18. We'll look at a couple of stories here in this chapter. Let's begin at verse number 38. It says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God.'" Look down at verse number 44. "And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, 'Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand.' And he said, 'Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not.'" I'm going to preach tonight on a message entitled Another Person. Let's pray. Father, once again, we come to you. And Lord, as we heard, there is power in prayer. We come to you asking that you'd please speak to our hearts through the message. Lord, through these just a couple of thoughts that I have for us tonight. Lord, I know the folks are tired from the weekend and, Lord, the week with work going on. And I pray, Lord, that you please help us as we just get a simple thought from your word. In your name we pray. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, this is a special day for Elijah. This is a special day for Israel. Something special was going on. There was a lot of things that were happening, and this is something that is very, very exciting that's happening for them. The first victory that we see here is, of course, the fire from heaven. Verse number 21 says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, 'How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' And the people answered him not a word." You know the story. If you've studied your Bible at all, you've read through this and you've heard about this. Of course, this is where there are 450 prophets of Baal going up against Elijah. And Elijah, he says, "All right, the people of Israel, you're going to find out who truly is the God, who truly is God. You're going to find out today who you're supposed to be, who you're supposed to be serving, who you're supposed to be worshiping. And so what he does is he gets two bullocks, he brings them up, and he has some wood out there, and he goes, all right, I'm going to let you pick one, and I'm going to pick the other. You're going to take your bullock, and you're going to put it on your altar. You're not allowed to put any fire on there, but we're going to cry out to our gods, and we're going to see which God answers our prayer. So the prophets of Baal, they start out. They get the wood arranged just so. And they get that bullock, and they lay that bullock out on that, and they start calling out to Baal. They call out all morning long up until noontime, and Baal is quiet. Let me tell you, this is not the first time that Baal had been quiet. Baal had been quiet for quite some time. In fact, what's interesting is they were in the middle of a drought. This drought had been going on for 3.5 years. Now, what's really interesting to me is that Baal was the weather god. And he had not answered their prayer for they had not heard anything for 3.5 years. And now they're crying out, and they're crying out all morning long until noontime. They're still crying. And then Elijah decides, we're going to have a little fun with this. Now, in your minds, I want you to picture. There is one man over here, and there are 450 prophets on this other side. And these guys, they're crying out. They're doing their mumbo jumbo, trying to get Baal to listen to them, trying to get Baal to send fire down to consume that sacrifice, and nothing is happening. So, of course, Elijah starts mocking him. He says, hey, maybe your God is talking and he can't hear you. Maybe your God is on a journey and he's out of the office right now. Maybe your God is sleeping. Somebody should try and wake him up. He just can't hear you. And they start. So what do you think that does to them? Well, that just throws them into a tizzy. They start screaming out even more. Bible says they jump up on the altar and they're screaming and they're wailing out to Baal and they're crying for him to send down fire. Now picture this. They are on the altar and they're asking him to send fire down. That is not going to end right. But these people weren't thinking right anyway, because they were starting to cut themselves. They were bloodied. It was starting to look like a massacre, just all of the blood that was flowing, that was all over the place. And they're crying from the noontime all the way until the evening. They're jumping on the altar. They're crying out. They're cutting themselves. But still, nothing. Verse number 30 talks about how Elijah, he says, okay, I guess it's my turn. He tells the people, hey, come near. Come close. I want you to be able to see exactly what's happening. Get as close as you can. They get closer. And he sees the altar that was once built up, and he starts repairing the altar. He grabs 12 stones to signify the tribes of Israel. He starts putting them back on the altar, and he rebuilds that altar that's there. And then he takes the wood, and he lays the wood out on the altar. He makes a trench around the altar. And then he cuts the bullock into pieces, and he lays that on top of the wood. Then he does something that's kind of peculiar. He says, all right, I need 4 barrels of water. Bring them up here. So they get the 4 barrels of water and they bring them up. He says, I want you to pour it on the altar. I want you to pour it on the wood. I want you to pour it on the sacrifice, on that bullock. Pour it all over. So they pour those barrels of water on it. He says, that's not enough. Do it again. So they go back with their 4 barrels and they dip it in the water and they bring it up and they pour one and then the next and then the next until 4 more barrels of water are poured on the altar. He says, that's not enough. Do it again. Say, Brother Mick, why do you think he wanted this to happen? You know, just in my mind, this is what I'm thinking. I think that he wanted to make sure that nobody in their mind was going to be able to say, well, that was just luck. well, there was just an ember that flew up and just happened to light up. No, they had 12 barrels of water that were now poured on top of this. There is no way, even if they wanted to get this thing started, they could not start it themselves. Anybody that's tried starting a campfire using wet wood knows that. I remember a primary camp. There was a primary camp where Brother Luke and I were in charge of it. And for whatever reason, Brother Bragg was gone and Preacher was gone. And so Brother Luke decided to stay back and he was going to lock the place up. So that meant that I had about 40, no, not that many, probably about 25 primary campers. But the kicker was the tents weren't set up yet and there wasn't a fire that was ready to go yet. So we're running around and we've got all these primary campers and I've got the other workers. They're getting the kids together. We're setting these tents up as fast as we can. And then it's starting to get dark out and we're trying to get a fire going. And the wood is somewhat wet. God, it was frustrating. It was all we could do just to get this fire going. And Brother Luke walked up, hey, how's it going? It's not going good. And I said, please don't do this next year. Don't lock up next year. But we made it past that, and we're doing good. We did not lose any kids that year, but we had a good time. But that's what he did. He poured water. Why? He didn't want to leave it to chance. He didn't want anybody to think, oh, that was just luck or some sort of trickery. If something was going to happen, it was going to have to happen from God. Fire was going to have to happen. It was going to have to fall from heaven. Verse number 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Now, I want you to notice, it says at the time of the offering that Elijah the prophet came near and said. Elijah didn't go out and he didn't scream. He didn't cry. He didn't cut himself. The Bible says that he just said, just a simple prayer. Very simple prayer in what happens, verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And remember, before when the Bible says that the people answered him, not a word. Now they're saying in verse 39, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And so God brings fire down from heaven and God does an amazing thing right there with them. And the people, they realize that they've been worshiping this false God and they realize that God, that the God of heaven truly is God. And they turn and they start worshiping him again. And then Elijah says, hey, I want you to grab those prophets of Baal, those heathens. I want you to grab them and they need to be put to death. And so they do that. And those prophets of Baal die. What a great victory that they saw. This is a tremendous victory. What a great day. But the day's not over. Look at verse number 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. When Ahab, after all of this had happened, what did Ahab do? He went and he decided to rest. He wanted to get something to eat. He wanted to get something to drink. But do you know where Elijah goes? He goes to pray. He goes to get back to work, and he prays. He cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. He says, go again 7 times. He's praying and he's saying, God, please, please send the rain again. Send the rain again. It's been 3.5 years since it's rained. There's been a drought. Please send the rain again. We need the rain. He says, go out and look. And the servant goes out. He looks out and sees nothing. He comes back. There's nothing. He goes, go back again. And again, he says that 7 times. Go back 7 times. And finally, on the 7th time, it says, verse 44, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. You know, I kind of get the idea that was not just a coincidence that it was like a man's hand. It was almost like someone's hand was going to be on the matter. Like somebody was going to have a part in that. And that was God. That little cloud starts to rise up and he says, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. That one little cloud turned into a sky that was black with clouds. And then it says in verse 45 that there was a great rain. Why did that happen? Because of persistent prayer. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Hey, this drought had been there for 3.5 years. This drought had been there. And only Elijah gets on his knees and starts praying. That little cloud starts to rise. And somebody was going to have a part in that. It wasn't too long until that little cloud grew into a sky of rain clouds. And the Bible says there was great rain. And praise God, he showed his mighty hand by doing a mighty work that day. In the same day that you had fire come down from heaven, you had the windows of heaven open, and you have a direct answer to prayer, and rain is poured out upon them once again. What a tremendous day. What an outstanding day. This had to have been something that was etched in their minds for years and years and years to come. This is something that they would have never forgotten. It's kind of like what happened here this weekend. I know that I'm not the only one whose heart was warmed by the events and the testimonies. Brother Bragg talked about it a little while ago. We've gotten texts and we've had people talk to us about how it felt like the windows of heaven were opened and the blessings of God were poured out on us. Many people have talked to Pastor Angel and talked about just what a tremendous thing happened this weekend and how it was fair to say that God had done a mighty work this weekend. Can I say, don't discount that. Yes, it might be something that we're going to remember for a long time. Yes, it's going to be something that we're going to pass on. Listen, there were people that would tell me that this was one of the highlights of their life. Was this weekend. That's great. That's a mighty work that God had done. While there was not a literal fire from heaven upon a sacrifice, or an actual... Let's back it up. While there was not a literal fire from heaven upon a sacrifice, or an actual storm that blew in during a mighty work, listen... There was a real and literal blessing from God. And it was as if his hand was here. Just like Elijah, just like Israel, saw God do something special, we saw God do something special. But you know what? Not everyone was excited about that victory. You see, there was another person. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She did not get any joy out of what had happened. In fact, it infuriated her. And what she did is she started an all-out attack on Elijah. Why are you saying this? Because not everyone was excited about the celebration. Not everybody was excited about the glory that was brought to God this last weekend. There was one that was infuriated. He was infuriated with each of the testimonies. He was infuriated with each of the sermons. He was infuriated with us burning the mortgage. He was mad. He did not like at all what happened. And let me tell you, Faith Baptist Church, if there's anything that he's going to do, is he's going to start an all-out attack on us. Why? Because he does not like to see the work of God. He does not like to hear how the fire of God has fallen down and how our hearts were warmed. He does not like to hear about the windows of heaven opening and rain coming down and blessings that we got this weekend and how we were just overjoyed by the past 50 years. He does not want another 50 years. The devil wants to destroy Faith Baptist Church. And how many times does he come around right after a great victory? How many times does he do that? He does it time after time after time again. Because he was not excited about the victory. He was infuriated. He hated the victory. And just like Jezebel, she had seen everything that had happened, but she viewed it in a different light. The devil saw all that happened here this past weekend. And the devil sees it in a different light. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that we need to be sober and to be vigilant. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the old devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not want us to continue on to God's glory. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The devil wants to corrupt now that there's been a blessing. Just like the devil was able to get into a perfect place like the Garden of Eden, how much more likely is he able to come into an imperfect place like Faith Baptist Church? It's very important, it's vitally important for us to realize that while we had a great time, and while it was something that we will remember, and it's something that we will not soon forget, it's something that the devil will not soon forget either. And the devil has his sights on our church. The devil has his sights set on our pastor. And the devil has his sights set on you individually. He does not want to see us move on for God. Just a couple of thoughts, just by way of just something to think about. Remember what this church was built on. We had a lot of fun this weekend, but our church was not built on picnics. We had a lot of giveaways, but our church really was not built on giveaways. We had a lot of excitement, but really our church was not built on excitement. We can't have a 50th anniversary every single week. I know just a little bit about how much we spent, and there's no financial way possible for us to have a 50th every single week. But that's not what our church was built on. Our church was built on obedience to God and faithfulness. Turn over to Matthew chapter number 16. I know I'm not giving you any incredible truths tonight, but just something that I think we have to be wary of. Something that we have to be careful of, because the devil did not enjoy at all what happened this weekend. Can I encourage us to continue to obey God? Can I encourage us to continue to trust God and to be faithful to him? Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 18, "And I say also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Of course, we've been taught Peter means little pebble, whereas the rock that he's talking about is the large stone, which is Jesus Christ. This church was built on Jesus and will need to continue to be built on Jesus if we are going to continue on for Christ. If we're going to continue on, it's not going to be through picnics. It's not going to be through great testimonies. It's not going to be through moments like that. It's going to be by continuing to get faithful, to be faithful to what we've done throughout the years. And that is to trust God, to obey God, and to be faithful to Him. Let's continue, Faith Baptist Church. Continue to be built on Jesus if we are going to continue to stand. Remember what this church was built on. Let's remember that God's work is not finished. I was blessed yesterday to see a good number of people out soul winning. That's great because we're not finished reaching our community yet. We're not done. There's still work to be accomplished. And the devil wants us to sit back. Hey, just like Ahab had seen that, and he goes off and he's going to have dinner and he's going to enjoy his time. Elijah said, I got to get back to praying. I got to get back to the work. I am not done. And let's continue to do the work. It is not finished. I was blessed to talk to Brother Harold on Monday. On Monday afternoon, he says, "Well, I got to get going. I got to go to the nursing home. I've got a service that I've got to get to tonight." Can I tell you, that is what built Faith Baptist Church. Is by being faithful to serve God in the soul winning, by being faithful to serve God at the nursing home. Hey, I fully expect to see bus workers at the meeting again on Sunday. And that's great because we're not done bringing in boys and girls to church. The work of God is not finished. The work in the Sunday school classes are not done. The work is not finished, so keep on. It can be very tempting for us to sit back and long-term glory in what the Lord has done for the last 50 years. But the work's not done. The work is not finished. There's more to do. There are more bus kids that need to get on that bus. There are more families that need to be strengthened through the Sunday school programs. Hey, there are more people that need to be reached. There are more people that need to get saved and then baptized. There are more Spanish folks that need to get up into the Spanish service. There's more that needs to be done. I had a great time this weekend. It was something that I'll never forget. But that's not what Faith Baptist Church was built on. We can enjoy it. We can have a great weekend. We can have fun. But it's about getting back to serving God, trusting God, being faithful to Him. Lastly, turn over to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. The devil's going to attack. And collectively as a church, we need to keep moving on. We need to keep moving forward. But individually, we need to put on the whole armor of God. Every day, we need to get that armor of God on. We need to devote ourselves. Maybe we need to recommit ourselves to what did Brother Starr call it? The quiet time? Is that what he called it? The Bible time? I forget what the wording was. But commit ourselves to staying in God's Word. Hey, how about getting a renewed vigor for praying for people? Hey, listen, I was excited when Doug Soprenant came and he trusted Christ as a Savior because me, like many of you, had been praying and praying and praying for Doug. That morning, that Easter morning, I saw him sitting there at the table and he was eating food in the gym at the breakfast time. And as I walked by, I said, Lord, please speak to Doug's heart. Help him to see his need for you. I walked by and then shortly after noon, I came in and I got the news that Doug had trusted Christ as his Savior. Who is it that we need to renew our excitement about prayer for? Who do you have to have a burden about? Do we have to get a burden again for our Sunday school class? Do we need to get back in our Bibles? Have we let that slip a little bit? What do we need to do? We could get on to the whole armor of God and look at each of the aspects, but you know what it comes down to? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow.
Amen.
Grow. Grow. Put on the whole armor of God. I had a great time this weekend. I got to meet some folks. I'll tell you what, the stories I heard, you hear names, but you really don't understand what some of those names meant to Faith Baptist Church until there's something like this. And I mean, the whole weekend was outstanding. But let's get back to work. Let's understand that there is somebody else that hated this weekend. And that somebody else is going to be attacking our church, going to be attacking you individually, and is going to be attacking our preacher. Let's get back to the work. Let's obey God, trust Him, be faithful to Him, put on the whole armor of God, and keep doing the work. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for the folks that came out tonight. Lord, it's very easy to get caught up in a mountaintop experience like we had. It's very easy for young people to live for the camps and the conferences, but Lord, that's not what builds a person. It's what we do in the every day. It's what we do every single week. And I pray, Lord, that you please help us to continue on, to trust you, to obey you, to be faithful to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, I wonder if there's anybody in here that says, Brother Mick, I do not know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I've never put my trust in Jesus as my Savior. If there's anybody in here that says, I don't know that, but I'd like to, would you slip your hand up, anybody at all, tonight? I do not know Christ is my Savior, but I'd like to. I wonder if the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Nothing against the weekend and how great it was, but just a renewing, a challenging, and encouraging to move on for Christ. Let's all stand, and as the piano plays, why don't you come to the altar and pray.